You talk golden to me.
Welcome to another video podcast show here at the Talk Golden to Me video podcast studios at the Berman Law Group in Boca Raton. Your host, Golden TV, Evan Golden. Always excited to talk to the viewers and listeners, whether you are listening or watching. We, of course, appreciate your time. And today's topic is an important one when you talk about business. Certainly today in 2020, in the midst of a pandemic, I think every business, small, medium, or large, are looking at ways they could take their business to the next level, whether they want to be more productive, more profitable, of course, and just increase productivity in all areas, whether it's branding, gaining more clients, going back to existing clients. So we brought in our studio here. Let's get off of my face. Let's zoom right into her. Sophie Bowman is in the house. She has over a decade of experience when it comes to social media branding and PR, and you have a very successful brand, and you have an innovative, creative approach, which a lot of businesses are hungry to find out what they can do, like I said, to take their business to the next level, increase revenue. So Sophie, let's start and get right into it. What, you know a lot about business?
Surprisingly so.
Tell us.
So, I mean, I kind of started, people used to make fun of me a lot, you know, jack of all trades, never going to have something that I'm really a master at, but that's what I really wanted to do, and I'm kind of getting the last laugh with it now, you know, because I have the PR, I have the marketing, I have the branding. So I always kind of had a passion, that typical kind of entrepreneurial gene where I just want to start businesses, come up with really cool ideas, and then I don't want to deal with it anymore. I don't want to do the business plan. I don't want to do the boring stuff at all.
What's the difference between marketing and branding?
So branding would be more, you know, your tone of voice, like how you communicate yourself to people. That would be, you know, your logo and your branding colors and like the way you've branded yourself is a perfect example. Everything golden. You're a great example of that. And the marketing is more, you know, the kind of social media ads or doing stuff like email marketing. There's like a lot of stuff that goes into it. It would have been events, but obviously, you know.
Certainly. And I think a lot of businesses, I think every business out there has a marketing budget, whether you are a tiny business, a local business, mm-hmm. or a huge conglomerate. Everyone has a marketing budget. I think the struggle is, where do you put those funds and how do you diversify? You know, do you put it in social media? Do you put it in client retention? And I think at least what I've understood is there, you never want to put all your eggs in one basket, mm-hmm. right? You always want to kind of diversify.
Exactly. 100%. I think a lot of it is trial and error. You know, I think you can do maybe try out some ads on Facebook or whatever. Now it's not great, obviously, with everything that's going on, but if you can try the ads maybe for $5 a day, but then on top of that, to be honest, the best way that you can reach as many people as possible, build your email database, is giveaways. That's something that, you know, we all do a lot. It gets followers, drives traffic to websites with the swipe up stories, but then you have to have a way to data capture. And that's what a lot of businesses kind of fail to realize. So by the time they come to me, they're like, I've tried everyone and, you know, I paid an influencer X amount of money and I didn't get any results. I'm like, okay, so when you work with the influencer, did you have like a swipe up story? Did you have a landing page? Did you have a way to capture their data on the website? No, that's why it didn't work.
Now, I love social media, but sometimes I think it's kind of, I hate to use the word scam, but it's like you build up this whole following and then they are only going to allow your followers to see your content if you're paying. So yeah. I think I've heard crazy numbers. Like, say you have a huge following. I heard only like 10% of your followers actually see your posts unless you're putting money and ads behind it or boosting behind it. Is that correct?
Yeah, pretty much. Wow. And that's why a lot of us influencers, because obviously I do that side as well, we got really upset when we found out who was buying Instagram because we knew where it was going to go. So it is very much like that. It's a battle. But what I always say to a lot of clients and brands is your followers are pointless. They're basically, it's like voyeurism. They're just watching you. They're not doing anything for you till you're converting them to customers. I talk with my hands, so I'm going to keep slapping everything.
I like the action. I like the action. So it's educational for me. And I love, you know, guests like you because I think it's always changing. It's ever changing. And you have to stay Google's always changing their algorithms. Instagram is always different. Sometimes I see the chronological order. Sometimes it's completely random. Sometimes I know I typed in something and now all of a sudden I'm just seeing that feed on my timeline. So you mentioned the giveaways, which is great. Some businesses can't do that though, actually. Mm-hmm. Like say a law firm for existence, they can't do giveaways because you can't mm-hmm. bribe people. So you got to get really creative. And like you're talking about the swipe ups and interacting, but I like the influencer approach. I think that a lot of businesses are not taking advantage of the influencers. And I think it's the micro influencers, mm-hmm. right? We're not talking the Kardashians of the world that reach millions, mm-hmm. but the people that reach 15,000, 50,000, and they have local followers. How is their impact to businesses and utilizing them for marketing?
So to be honest, that's what's really kind of taken off during COVID. So my business partner and I, when we started businessownersociety.com, shameless plug, we had this whole idea, which was very, very different. And then when COVID hit, we then started thinking, okay, we have to get creative. Like, how can we actually help businesses? Then it became like a challenge because she's very prominent in, you know, the volunteer world anyway. And her husband is actually a lawyer, but real estate. So he's very smart. So he actually got super creative and started doing like TikToks for lawyers, which is something that, you know, you wouldn't really expect. But her daughter, who's also now going to be my goddaughter, it's all very, you know, it's been an interesting few months. She's also an influencer and she kind of gets the next gen boss age. So they're like, you know, 16 to 24. And then I'm obviously slightly older. Not literally, that too. But between us, we started getting a lot of, you know, local people. And then it kind of like got really crazy from there. Like we get people asking us to go to events all the time. You know, I did something with the Ritz recently. Like it's been fun.
That's fun. And it's unfortunate, obviously, with the pandemic, all events have kind of been canceled. And the virtual events haven't seemed to be really working too much as far as like networking and getting people together. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these seminars now, tell me about this group you've created for entrepreneurs where they're able to work with influencers, or you connect them right with influencers?
Yeah. So we kind of started it as a membership. So we have our online community, Business Owner Society group, which is on Facebook. And that's where, you know, everyone can kind of network. But really, we want to create a community where everyone's trading from each other first. Because a lot of the problem with business owners, you know, when they start out a business, they don't know who to trust in marketing or logo, whatever. So we're like, okay, if we have a community, everyone trades from within there first, and then it's kind of like you're holding people accountable to not act like idiots, pretty much.
I like that. So working together, helping each other, referring exactly. to each other, kind of keeping it there and growing.
Yeah.
How did you collaborate with Forbes? I see you all over Forbes. I mean, mm-hmm. that's pretty impressive. And how did that come about?
So with Forbes, I started writing for them about a year and a half ago. So because of my background in, you know, PR, branding, social media, all of that kind of stuff, I became an expert writer for them in that. And then everything else has kind of popped up from that. Like I was in Success magazine yesterday. You know, there's a lot of opportunities have come from that. And I'm going off to entrepreneur next.
Okay, nice. I like the goals. Forbes to entrepreneur. How do you connect with an influencer? I mean, I've written influencers or celebrities or social media celebrities, mm-hmm. and they're getting flooded with DMs constantly. Hey, we want to collaborate. We want you to do that. How do you get your DM or your opportunity even seen or even opened?
It's such a great question. So I actually did a class on that on a Thursday, free of course, on Zoom. But there's a few different ways to do it. So I actually collaborated with a top five influencer, Seaman at Aline, who then was so happy with the piece that I wrote about her in Forbes. She not only kind of shouted me out, you know, on her social media that has 2.3 million followers, she invited me on her TV show, which is huge. So, you know, I just went on after Bob Saget and Jay Shetty, which is major. So it's all about finding a way to kind of, I guess, not being so gross about, you know, just offering free product or like, the number one absolute do not do is just the obvious spammy messages where I can tell instantly if someone's actually taken the time to read who I am, even my name. Most of the time, they don't do any of that. But if you can then find a way to say, you know, like Simonetta as an example, she has a charity. So it's a way of saying to her, well, listen, we have an event coming up. We'd love to do a charity event, something sponsor your charity or do... You know, there's ways you have to be smart about it and always think about a much bigger picture.
Yeah, those are my favorite type of events where you're bringing the community together for a good mm-hmm. cause and you're involving a charity in it where people feel good about coming, supporting, and at the same time, they're able to meet people, they're networking, they're handshaking, mm-hmm. and then maybe you're raising money or awareness. So I think tying in the philanthropic element to any type of networking or business event is so important. And they need the help. They need there's so many nonprofits out there. And a lot of the smaller ones just don't ever have a platform to even have their mission even, you know, shared. So I like that concept as well. Let's take it back. Did you always have like a passion for business and the behind the scenes of business and helping businesses grow and expand? Where did this come from?
Honestly, I did. And then I think I learned a lot starting my own business and what I would want, you know, like a little hand holding if I started another one, which I did during COVID. But for me, it was always more of the like, you know, creative and doing things backwards to what everyone else is doing, which makes life a little bit more challenging in every kind of way, but it's a lot more fun.
Listen, you've been recognized for your work. I'm just looking here at your resume. I don't think I have enough ink and printer paper for all the awards that you've won. And these are awards just in the last 2 years, from Best Influencer for Local Business, Best Viral Marketing Campaign, Creative Awards. So you are certainly being recognized for your work. Do you give yourself a pat on the back for this?
I do, but I have to be honest. When I was in a Success magazine yesterday, I was low-key a little bit not having a tantrum, but disappointed I wasn't on the cover.
I like that you aim high. I like that your goals and your expectations are always high, which I think are good. I think when people set goals or set objectives for themselves, mm-hmm. sometimes they sell themselves short. And I think that you're always reaching for the top, which is nice.
Definitely. And I think for me, it was, you know, having something that's a passion for helping people anyway, but also, you know, if you can make money out of doing that. I mean, they always say it's like the oldest quote ever, right? Like, do whatever you're passionate about and you don't work a day, whatever. You do work. You work about 18 hours a day. But the difference is you just love what you do. And it has been a lot of fun, but we've generally, you know, like help people.
Is there certain businesses that can work with you or certain industries, or is it a wide variety?
To be honest, it's very wide. I mean, recently mm-hmm. I've been starting going more towards, you know, either business owners like solopreneurs, because they're the ones that are really struggling, mainly because, you know, marketing companies want to take, what, $5,000-$6,000 a month. Small businesses just don't have that. So recently I've been doing a lot of kind of brainstorm sessions with them, which is a lot more affordable. You know, whether you have one of those or you have a weekly one or a monthly, that can make all the difference. Just to have someone there, that's all you need sometimes, is someone just to tell you what to do.
That's great. So business owners watching, listening, take advantage of that. It's not just pay $10,000 retainer and mm-hmm. we'll get some work done. There's a lot of programs. There's a lot of opportunities, obviously, on the size of your business and the industry. So certainly reach out to the woman who is the queen of PR, media, influencing. I'm trying to give you some nicknames here. Now, you wrote an article here on 6 tips for using social media. I think a lot of businesses sometimes are scared of social media. And what mm-hmm. I say by that, they don't want to come off cheesy. They want to come mm-hmm. off professional. My kids make fun of me if I went on TikTok, which, you know, you hear Gary Vee saying, if you're not on TikTok, you're doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Are there like misconceptions when it comes to social media and businesses?
I think so. I think a perfect example of that is my business partner's husband, Justin Napola. So he's a lawyer, but at the same time, you know, him actually getting up there and doing like a TikTok with his influencer daughter, like that changed a lot of people's, oh, okay, we can do that. We didn't know we could do that. Everyone's just way too, you know, worried about what people think all the time.
Yeah, like I get nervous, like when you see a social media post and you see like, this is what you're doing when you should be working on your business or help working on a client, and you get like a lot of negative feedback. I think most people, mm-hmm. if they're posting, unfortunately now, are writing negative stuff. It's even like the reviews. Like you can have an amazing meal at a restaurant and you loved it, but you're not going to write a review because you're just going to go home happy. But if you had one little wrong thing, you're going to automatically just harp on that. Yeah. I think we just need more positive reinforcement. If you had a good experience, if you like something, write it and say it. Don't just, you know, I think it's crazy because even on my social media, like I'll post a video and I have not a lot of likes, not a lot of comments, but I have the views and I'm like, I know that you're watching, but I see you see, I see the views, right? We see the views, but the engagement interaction is not there. And a lot of the advertisers and businesses like to see, of course, kind of that engagement. Mm-hmm. But to me, as long as you know they're watching and you're getting their attention, you're getting their eyeballs and their views, it's just as good.
It is just as good, but then it, you know, it always comes back to, it's great for brand awareness, but if that's the case, I mean, you're fine because you have that branding, everything gold, you know, like you have the branding, but a lot of businesses, they won't even have that. So people aren't going to remember, you know, you have to be really, really strong in your branding and your message. You have to have a really clear kind of message and customer that you're going after.
Got it. We are talking with Sophie Bowman. What, if someone said, like, what do you do for a living, or what is your position title? How do you explain that?
It's really difficult.
I know. That's why I was like, she's going to have to help me out with this one.
It's really, really difficult. And honestly, so recently when I was on the a few TV shows, I went to a PR agency. I'm like, oh, can you take over this? Like, I'm too busy. I don't want to do it anymore. They're like, oh, we don't know where to put you. I'm like, this is a problem I've had since school. I mean, at this point, I'm just going to go down, you know, an educator route, because now, like, that really is my passion. If I'm having the brainstorm sessions with small businesses, or, you know, educating them on how they can do what people do for $5,000 a month for like $100 an hour, you know what I mean? Like, that to me is the passion thing. So again, I don't have a direct answer.
I like educator though, because you're providing education, you're providing insight, you're providing solutions. Mm-hmm. Tell me this, I need a solution to this. How do you make a viral video? What is a viral video? I mean, if you told me a guy with a tattoo on a skateboard drinking Ocean Spray, listening to Fleetwood Mac is going to be the viral video of the year, I'd be like, no way. Like, I don't understand what goes viral and how it goes viral. What is your insight on that?
So a lot of times, a lot of it is luck. Some of it is very well orchestrated. But the one that I won the award for, I think it was earlier this year, the viral video campaign, that was just, it was meant to be funny. So I made a video with my old hairstylist, and I don't know if I should say this on here. I'll just say it. So I was spending a fortune on my hair. I was getting hair extensions.
It looks fabulous, by the way.
Thanks. And I was like, oh my God, $1,000. Okay, well, I'm going to drink $1,000 worth of free complimentary wine. I didn't make it. He's like, well, you're going to have a hard time because it's about $20 a bottle. I'm like, oh, shit. So I had to give up after about, you know, three bottles, which is good for, you know, British. But yeah, we just filmed it. It was a bit of fun. And then I think I didn't actually put any ads behind it. But when it went on TikTok, that's when it just took off. It got something like 144,000 views. I think a lot of it is luck, but it's also timing, the time of day that you put it. I think now everyone's a little bit sick of stuff just because they've been so, you know, suffocated during COVID. But again, it's probably doing things a little bit differently. You know, think what's trending right now, probably anything to do with the presidential campaign, you know, probably making fun of that is going to make you a lot of views right now, or anything to do with, you know, indirect sales. So with that video, the stylist came chasing me out of the salon because I'd stolen one of the bottles of wine. And it wasn't directly selling, you know, the salon, so really, but at the same time it was. So that got seen by so many people, and it was only local. And from what I hear, their phone was ringing off the hook.
That's great. That's why it's like you never know what is going to pop. And I think I think there's a fear of social media because it's like you post something and it's not getting enough likes or not getting enough engagement, automatically you delete it. But I think the key is to just keep putting content up there and just leave it up there and just continually and continually post. But you have to do it on a consistent basis too as well.
You do. And I think anything that has, you know, that element of fun, like the first time I filmed a video with Forbes, I think that was a few months ago. And then at the end, I had a kind of behind the scenes, you know, a tripod, whatever, like real amateur setup. But at the end, I kind of stood up. I'd been wearing a suit, or whatever, and I had no pants on, and I kind of just walked away. You know, things like that, I'm sure now has been done to exhaustion. But it's just having that creativity to think, like, people wouldn't expect that, you know, from Forbes.
It's also hard to be real, too. I think that a lot of people put a facade up. They don't want to show, you know, their human nature. They have to be so, you know, professional. But if you sometimes just real and realize that everyone else is putting their pants on the same way, and probably everyone else doesn't have pants on during these Zoom meetings as well. So what's the first thing you do when you wake up?
It really depends. I used to say, look at my phone, but I'm trying to get out of that whole habit now. I need to be better with a morning routine. I wish I could say that I do like mantras or like, you know, listen to a podcast or something. But a lot of the time I don't, and I'm trying to change that because it really makes such a difference.
I only ask that because I think how many percentage of people are, when they wake up, just automatically go to their phone. Either they're checking their emails, checking social media, yeah, or whatever. I think that's a very high number.
It's very high, and it's honestly, it's kind of pointless too, because it just sets up your day in the whole wrong kind of way. So now it's more kind of like the 100 step skincare routine, and then, you know, coffee. That's the main thing. I try not to talk to anyone until I've had coffee.
You and my wife. Did you see the documentary on Netflix, The Social Dilemma, by any chance?
I haven't.
Check that out. It's pretty interesting on the kind of the behind the scenes and how they've created these social media apps and how they're engaging the consumers and the addiction it is for a lot of people, you know, wow, because they're craving it, just sitting there waiting for an alert or any type of notification. Great documentary for you to definitely check out, but I could definitely see you being in a documentary of your own. So maybe we could, maybe the producers that are watching, we could talk about that as well, because Sophie Bowman is a special woman. She has been recognized by numerous award companies, so many creative awards, now writing for Forbes magazine, Entrepreneur Next. But you've also worked with a lot of celebrities as well. I have a little passion and bug for entertainment. I've always loved entertainment, support the arts. Tell me about some of that background with you and who you've worked with and what that was like.
So that's when I was a lot younger, back in London. So that was doing, you know, like the PR stuff, the launch parties, people like Kanye West, John Legend. That was a really fun one to do. Jamie Foxx, again, that was like one of my celebrity crushes.
So these are A-list mega stars we're talking here.
Yeah. And then recently, I think it was earlier this year. No, sorry, last summer, I got to work as part of the team on the DJ Khaled Father of Assad launch. So that was an experience. It was a lot.
Fun to work with? No, not a lot of divas, the celebs, or are they cool?
Honestly, I think when it comes to business, they're all really professional. Perfectionists, but, you know, that's where they are.
Is being a perfectionist a bad thing?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm a perfectionist, but it's exhausting. I'll just get annoyed after a while.
How'd you make your way to the States?
So I was actually turning 30 and I was engaged at the time. And I went to go visit a friend in Morocco for my 30th birthday. And then we'd been day drinking the Medina, as you do, and decided to put a deposit down on an apartment. I was there for 2 years and I realized, okay, I don't speak French or Arabic fluently. This is difficult. So I met a bunch of army boys from San Diego in a club in Morocco, and we tossed a coin. So we basically said it was either going to be Miami or San Diego, and Miami won. So here I am.
you're like a gypsy.
In a weird way, I kind of am.
Just determined by a coin toss. Well, listen, you can't. Those are two great spots. Talking West Coast or down here, to me, is paradise in South Florida. I think there's something for everybody down here. And once the pandemic starts to slowly go away, you'll understand why this is the best place in the world, because so many great charity events and fashion shows and film and entertainment and great networking events. But a lot of great charity events. So many humanitarians. Yeah. A lot of great philanthropists down here doing great events. So.
Definitely.
I like that. Sophie. So what do we got in the future? You have a book coming. What's your short term, long term goals?
Ooh, I like that question.
I come up with good ones every now and then.
So everyone has been trying to persuade me to do a kind of a biography, but I don't think that would be a good idea. I think some things are best kept mostly secret. There was talk of, you know, doing like a TV show, but more about female entrepreneurs. That's definitely something I would be interested in. But because I have, you know, I've been told I'm charismatic and there's always some kind of drama or entertainment. So it could be kind of a shit show.
I would like to get reality cameras in your face. Anyone that's day drinking, determine their life by a coin toss, working with Kanye West to one time to hitting on these army boys.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. But, you know, I've definitely had fun. I've lived. Like, the one thing I could definitely say, you know, if I die tomorrow, I definitely lived. But the only thing I'd be annoyed about is not being on the front of Success magazine. So I'm just going to keep saying that till they give in and put me on it.
What they say, you keep saying it and you believe it and you visualize it and it happens, right? I mean, that I believe in that stuff. I hate to get all like into that karma stuff, but I'm telling you, I think we all have a little bit of that ESP in us where if you kind of see it, you visualize it and you want it to happen, you can make it happen.
You can, 100%. I mean, you know, last year when I broke my jaw in an accident, I ended up getting scouted by this company and paid to walk in Miami Swim Week because I'd lost so much weight on a liquid diet.
So you became a supermodel from the accident?
Not quite.
Runway model? How'd you break your jaw?
It was a bike accident.
Motorcycle or bicycle?
No, so that was the funniest part. When I was here, I was always riding, you know, motorbikes without a helmet. Very Dang. Silly.
You're a wild one.
But in London, it was it was a normal bike, but we were kind of on, you know, going over hills and stuff. And then I turned around or whatever, just face palmed. And I knew as soon as I like sat up, I could just tell my jaw was.
That's a brutal injury. So you're just sucking everything through a straw for how long?
It was about 2 months.
Now, hopefully you don't mind me asking. I see two diamonds, like two things. Is that part of the surgery? Because this looks cool.
That's why I kept it. So when I came back, I had an orthodontist at the time who did like amazing work. She was like, I can't believe they let you fly back like this. They hadn't wired my jaw or anything. So my orthodontist actually wired back my jaw with elastic bands and these attachments.
And you said keep them when they were all done? You're like, I like them?
Yeah.
Look at you. You're a trendsetter. I like that. Who would have known breaking your jaw would become a fashion accessory?
Right? I mean, I wouldn't recommend it. It wasn't that much fun.
No, it sounds extremely unpleasant.
It was very unpleasant. But, you know, I'm a big believer in seeing opportunity in everything. So when that happened, you know, that opened more doors, which was great.
How can more people have that type of vision, seeing opportunity? I mean, I'm like that. Your bottle's half full. Anything I do, I'm trying to find the positive out of it. I could have – say I go on an audition to being a part in a movie. And the guy, your ass is fat, you're balding, we don't like you. But maybe the guy I met in the casting room is writing a movie and he liked me for it. Or maybe the editor is like, hey, I like your person. I mean, how do people get that mindset of kind of finding the positive or seeing an opportunity or light in any situation? Because it's it's easy to focus on the negative.
It really is. I think, honestly, I have no idea where it came from. It's almost like, you know, I'll call my resume like entrepreneur or ADHD because I'm just all over the place. But I think a lot of it is that because I worked in so many different industries, I never kind of felt like I can't do that because I've never done, you know, whatever. I was very Richard Branson about it. Like, if someone asks you to do something, just do it and you figure it out on the way. It has some hilarious consequences, but, you know, if I hadn't had that mindset, I probably wouldn't be anywhere near where I am now. I'd probably still be teaching, which is terrifying.
You have a lot of confidence and your resume speaks for itself. Talking about women in the business place, and I know that's something you support, is it still a struggle? Is there a respect factor? Do some people try to still belittle or try to intimidate you at all in any way?
I mean, it may be something to do with just the character I am, but I've never personally had that experience. But I know a lot of people have. But, you know, even some time ago, I worked with a multimillionaire who'd been in some trouble. So I was doing his online reputation management, trying to hide the fact that he'd been to prison for whatever reason. And he was absolutely fine. But at the same time, they're more ruthless. They'll say, you know what, this isn't working out, bye. But they're more polite about it. That's how he was with a lot of his employees. So I was like, oh, it kind of makes you nervous. But I also love that because you know where you stand with them. So I worked with him for a very, very long time. So I've personally never, you know, really felt that, but I know it happens a lot.
Well, I think businesses are extremely lucky to have your knowledge and you even providing any insight to them. So, after the show, I think you're gonna be very busy. A lot of businesses are going to be reaching out to you because like I said, now more than ever, they're looking for just innovative ways. They want to be creative. And if you're not doing it, your competitor is. I mean, if you think about any business out there, every business has like 5 to 10 competitors, even locally, whether you're the printing guy, the t-shirt guy, the real estate, a lot of competition. What are you going to do to separate yourself from the competition? And a lot of people sometimes cut marketing because they're like, it's not necessarily generating revenue. It's branding my business, but it's not generating revenue.
Yeah.
How do you educate people on that mindset where branding is correlated to revenue and profitability and productivity?
It definitely is. I mean, you know, I'll use you as an example with the golden stuff.
Use me, girl.
I always use men. I think, you know, in something like that, it's important because people remember you. You know, if they see you on the red carpet or they see you doing podcasts, like, that will really stick in their brain. Now, for example, if a company has, you know, a gold product, they're going to call you up and be like, hey, I saw you doing an event. Can you take my gold champagne or, you know, whatever it is?
Certainly.
So it is very important. You know, like back in London, I was working with... it was like my worst kind of client. It was finance or something like hugely boring that I have no interest in. So I was like, okay, this is actually sometimes more fun because they tend to be very, you know, corporate and want to do things a very specific way. And they just came up with the most boring idea of how to like gain brand awareness. I'm like, no, what we're going to do is we're going to do an event in the middle of London and we're going to hire a massive sumo wrestling ring and we're going to get the big blow up sumo wrestling suits and just let people in the city just come and fight each other they work with.
That's fun.
It was so fun. And something
I bet thousands of people were coming.
Yeah, because they're like, my God, you know, a lot of people in that industry, like they don't get to have fun. So something like that. I'm being really generic. Maybe some people love looking at numbers all day. I do not.
Yeah, I think that's a struggle for a lot of businesses, like the finance people or serious professions or professionals. Like they don't know how they could incorporate social media and keep it. It's still a serious business, but they want to keep it. I like to use the word edutainment. You could use that. So it's educational but entertaining at the same time. So I think if they could marry that philosophy into their branding, into their marketing, they'll be very successful because it can't just be educational. Just a boring talking head is not going to fly. You're just not going to get –
yeah.
Because look, we're quick fix America. I don't know about across the pond, but here, man, we're moving on so quick. We're a microwave society. If you don't – get their attention in the first couple of seconds, they're kind of on to the next. So you gotta hit them right over the head right away.
Exactly. And I think, you know, a great example of that is something that a lot of us didn't want to talk about for a long time because of, you know, the backlash. But with the Black Lives Matter movement, I mean, I'm trying to be very supportive of that. You know, I'm doing a lot of stuff with that. I'm being very specific in my hiring and who I work with around all of that movement. But a lot of the businesses were terrified to say anything because there was just, you know, this big backlash, not from everyone, obviously, but at the same time, these businesses kind of brought it on themselves because they weren't really doing anything. They were just posting a public statement. Like, that's not doing anything. Mm-hmm. You want to actually, like, go out there and do something and be seen to do it in the community. And then, you know, that's the difference between what people don't understand with marketing, branding. I mean, you can say that all you want, but if you're not showing diversity now in your workplace, you're going to get a backlash.
Right. So I think it's more... actions need to be taken because if you're just saying it and not doing it, obviously it holds a lot more weight when they actually see a difference or they see a movement or see a plight than rather just saying it. So that makes sense. That makes sense. We are talking with Miss Sophie Bowman. She is a brilliant woman. She gracing us here, educating us. Businesses certainly reach out to her. Plug some of your websites and social media so they could at least follow you, please.
How long do you have?
Which is your favorite one? What are you on? What are you spending the most time on? LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, your website? Like
OnlyFans. I'm joking. Your face. I am playing. I actually get asked about that a lot if I'm on OnlyFans. I find it so weird. I'm like, no, but you know what, love? You can find me on Forbes. Such a bizarre question. But no, we have businessownerssociety.com. That's for kind of entrepreneurs, you know, business owners, that kind of stuff. And as you can tell, we're not PC. My business partner is very similar to me. So it's a lot of fun, whatever we do. My Instagram is Sophie C. for Claire Bowman. I can spell it out or you're just going to put it on the side.
Sophie C. Bowman. We got it. And Instagram, I'm still about the OnlyFans comment. You got my heart pounding over there. Can I get on OnlyFans or no one wants to see a bad bod?
To be honest, I don't even understand what it is. So someone told me about it, that there's these models making all of these money. I'm like, but doing what? I don't know. We might have to go and do like...
Well, you got to think, all these girls that were, you know, working at all the clubs that are all shut down, all the waitresses, bartenders, the exotic dancers that are out of work are now bringing their work virtually to people. So
interesting. Well, no, sorry to disappoint. I'm not on OnlyFans.
I want to get on it. I think that I'd have a decent following.
Hey, listen, there's a market for everything. Well, it's all about how you brand yourself.
I have body. I don't know what it's called, but I have that body dysphoria where I see like a six pack and the V. Like I look at myself and I'm like, he looks good. It's bad that I have that, but
I mean, look, we all have our quirks in Florida.
What do you think about Florida? Are we the craziest state? Are we branding as they call it Florida?
Oh gosh, are you sure you want to have this
conversation? I
want to
hear your honest opinion about the state of Florida.
So, in a lot of ways, like I love Florida, but I do sometimes miss, you know, the characters back in London that will put you in your place or aren't afraid to be like, I don't like you, move from me. Here you don't really have that. It's kind of like there's not so many really crazy, like eccentric characters. But in terms of dating, it's pretty awful.
Everyone says that. There's so many dating websites though, and everyone works on their body here and no?
I deleted all of them, actually. So I saw a movie, I forget the name of it, but it was literally about a guy that was going to sue a dating app. It's a relatively new movie, I think, on Netflix or something. But I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to go in, I'm going to sue Hinge because I've just met the biggest bunch of fucktards on there. So I'm going to sue them for wasting my time. And, I mean, I was half joking. I'd probably, you know, had a couple of rums at the time.
Yeah, you got to be careful on those dating sites, especially with a lot of the catfishing going on out there. Did that happen to you, or just the picture was completely way off?
I don't think so. I mean, to be honest, I didn't go on a huge, huge number of dates from it. I don't like the whole thing. You know, I had a really bad experience with it, with a guy who just turned out to be a complete, you know, sociopath, narcissist, and it's just scary that people can be like that because it's just a waste of your time. So you get to know them, you end up liking them, and then after 2 months, you start seeing that spiral of behavior. Like, no, I don't.
I'm surprised it took you that long. You usually have good intuition. I can't believe it took you that long to realize it.
Not when it comes to dating. But no, I still met, you know, some really, really amazing people, but they're just commitment phobes. None of them really want a relationship. I mean, I can't speak for all. I'm just saying this is a big majority.
Now, you writing for Forbes, and I love the way you talk. You hold nothing back. Do you have to censor yourself when you're working with these big companies, or they like that you are an open book and you say what's on your mind?
We're going to find out.
Yeah, I don't want an email from your agents like, what the heck? My client was on your show and now she lost her deal. No,
Forbes, you know, I think they like the fact that there's like this new generation of female founder coming now, you know, where like you don't have to be a certain way, you don't have to dress or speak a certain way to, you know, be intelligent in that sense and still write for Forbes. So I kind of love that whole movement. I think it's pretty cool.
Now, here on the Talk Golden Me video podcast show, we always like to share some golden nuggets, maybe words of wisdom, something you've learned in life that you can now share to our viewers and listeners. What is a great golden nugget, a piece of advice, something you live by that you could share with our viewers and listeners?
Ooh.
Dig deep in there.
Honestly, this is a super simple one. I'm going to say just start. Because whatever it is, you know, so many times we're trying to start businesses or thinking about doing something and we just never get around to it. Like literally just the thing, if you think about it, like, you know, Nike, just do it. Like it's actually a really smart slogan. Just start. So, okay, I'm going to wake up one morning. I've been thinking about starting, you know, X business. Okay, I'm going to start. How do I start? Going to do some research. I'm going to figure out what do I want my brand to look like. There you go. You started now. The rest is like history after that.
I think that's great. I do it all the time. I'm driving home or I'm in the shower. I have a great idea or I think it's a great idea. And then it just fades away. I don't write it down. I never put an action plan behind it. I don't know. I think a lot of people are probably in that same boat where they might have a great concept, a great idea, and they never pursue it. They never do anything with it. Yep. And it could have been a home run for all that you know. So
it could have. And like now, you know, you hear a lot of people kicking themselves all the time. Like, oh, if only I'd started that online social media course a year ago. It's too late now because everyone and their mother has a social media course online now, pretty much. But
there's nothing worse than regrets, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a huge amount. I think my only regret will be like
not meeting me before I was single.
Yeah, that I was gonna say. I don't want to say the same joke again about being on the cover of Success. Definitely that, because you know, then I could have been Mrs. Golden.
People were vying for that name.
See, hot I commanded. Think that would be cool. I was always very into James Bond, so you know, the whole Goldfinger thing, that would have been cool.
Like that. Yeah, a lot of people don't even believe that's my name. They're like, is it Goldenberg, Goldman? I'm like, no, it's just Golden. Living my life like it's golden.
Oh, I like
spreading
that.
Spreading golden vibes.
Oh, you have a lot of these nuggets. Don't
golden
you? Slogans.
Energy. My nickname used to be the Golden Child of Love. I never knew really what that meant, but I liked it. I don't know either. Maybe it's because I'm a Scorpio.
So if you didn't have a wife, I'd be like, okay, well, I'm going for gold.
Exactly. Sophie, I could talk to you for many hours. This is a lot of fun. You are a ball of energy. You're creative. You're smart. You have a lot of confidence and swag. And a lot of women just in business, like I said, sometimes they have that intimidation factor, or they just try to be so professional to kind of like keep up. But you're just keeping it real. You keep it 100. And I think your clients probably really appreciate that. It's probably why you guys have good working long-term relationships.
For sure. Yeah, people definitely love that. I mean, a lot of women in business that I've met, they're really boring. Like a lot of the time, you know, they don't seem to have a personality. So I used to call them the business Stepford wives, you know, like, it's like, can we have a little character out here? And obviously there's a lot of incredible female entrepreneurs, but it's like, God, just if you want to go and neck a cocktail and then go on stage, that's actually how I met my business partner, which is kind of funny.
Were you at a bar drinking?
So I was actually on the panel for a bloggers event, and they called my name way sooner than I thought. So I went up there with a beer, so it just stuck, this whole thing. So actually,
you went up there with a beer, you said? That's funny. Yeah. I want to know how you – I have a question for you because I struggle with this. Your schedule seems insane, like time management – I think that's where a lot of people fail is that they're putting a lot of energy and effort and time in the wrong areas. I think time goes quick. I mean, a day I'm like, oh, my God, it's already this time.
Yeah.
Time management, is that something you have to do pre-plan, set a list before?
Yeah.
What's your advice on just kind of time management so you can do all this stuff and still have time for yourself and your clients, your business?
To be honest, so time management is something that I thought I'd got really good with, but then the influencer stuff started popping up. And then after the TV show, you know, a lot more stuff started popping up. So now I get to a point where I get really like exasperated now. Like when I hear the pings of my phone, I will put my phone on silent all the time now, just because it's just that stress of like people will distract you all the time. So that's probably actually a really good tip right there. Put your phone on silent, because if anything's urgent, they're going to keep ringing it. You're going to hear it. You know, like otherwise we just have this door of like where everyone can get to us at any point. And, you know, I learned from writing for Forbes, or like when I was writing some stuff for Business Insider, these constant distractions, like they just suck you. Every time you have a distraction, it's a minimum of 30 minutes of your time.
Wow. That's crazy. And I get a lot of distractions. I think everybody does.
Yeah.
Being so accessible.
And I think that's, you know, one of the things I really struggled with beginning of quarantine, because I had roommates. So they're at home, you know, they're yelling on the phone, they're doing whatever. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to make it through this quarantine. Or they're not going to make it. Someone's going to die.
Man, you're a tough cookie. I wouldn't want to mess with you.
The thing is that I'm actually really adorable with the right person, but I think I've definitely become like a lot harder-hearted in Florida.
Florida can do that to you. Can bring the best, the worst out of you. But we've definitely learned the best from you today. Sophie Bowman, I actually have a little gift for you too, because you appreciate the golden so much. Put these on and tell our viewers and listeners what it's doing to your body right now. She's wearing the golden glasses for all the people that are listening and not watching, but she just put them on her face and I see like a ray of sunshine and aura coming from her. Describe the feeling going through your body right now.
So this is the face of about to be on the cover of Success magazine. I'm going to wear these glasses on it.
I'm sending this show to all the editors of Success magazine because they need you. You're a one-of-a-kind person. I love your energy. Like I said,
I could just flood
you with compliments because you're a one-of-a-kind person. You're fearless, and a lot of businesses can take advantage of your innovative solutions. Look, social media is a full-time job, and like I said, if you're not doing it, you're missing the boat, but have someone to lean on that is an expert that's done the mistakes, the trials, tribulations, so you can learn what works, what doesn't work. So Sophie Bowman, thank you so much for joining the Talk Gold to Me video podcast show, sharing your insight, your knowledge. What a gift. Viewers and listeners, get on her social media, follow her, subscribe, get on her LinkedIn, join the groups, the Business Society website as well, full of great golden nuggets. We'll plug it. Mm-hmm. Success Magazine. Reach out to her. I don't want any credit for this as well, but we really appreciate you coming on today. Those Thank are for you, you to keep.
I love these.
Good. We love you.
Thank you. Does that mean I get invited back?
Yes. We want to have you back when you bring the cover of the Success Magazine with you.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do a signing and everything. No, stay in touch with me. I'm your friend now, so I'm going to give you my cell phone number. Let's keep the loop. And I want to hang out with you, too. I think I need that in my life, one night out with SP, just to see what that's like. And I want to learn to speak in a British dialect a little bit, because I'm very bad at that.
Okay,
I could say what. That's all I could say.
Okay.
That's all I could say is what.
Oh, God.
What do you mean? That was good.
That was actually decent.
Are you calling me fat?
What?
Chicky thing. I know. I got to work on it.
Wait, you know what we can do?
Okay,
this is an example of how we help local businesses. So if a local restaurant or bar wants to host us for the night, we go, we have dinner. You know, obviously they comp it for the evening, but we don't ask them for payment. And then we just film everything. It's always fun. We check in when we're there. We do swipe up stories.
They'll get more. Yeah, that free meal that they're giving away from all the people mm-hmm. posting, sharing. I mean, I'll go now. If I go to a restaurant, quick story, because I know you got to run, is I'm not even going to look at the menu. I'll like go to Instagram. I'll check who's posted there. And I'm just looking at their meals. I'm like, that looks good. I'm like, waiter, I want this. And I just show a picture of this chicken parmesan with Alfredo. I'm like, I want that. He's like, what is that? Where'd you find that? I'm like, on your Instagram.
That's so funny.
That's what I do.
I never thought of that.
I do that. I'm a visual order. I like to just see I want to see how it's prepared, what it looks like. Try it. Next time you go to a restaurant, go to their Instagram. Uh-huh. Everyone's taking pictures of their food, right?
That's true.
Everyone's posting it. And then try to order like that. Yeah, no, I don't need a menu. I just need your Wi-Fi password. And then when you pull up your phone, boom, I want that. Point to the picture. Try it. You're not gonna do it, are you?
No, I will try it. I will think of it. When we go, okay,
Are you inviting me to this dinner? I'll be fun.
Yeah. I'd say both of us.
All right, wow.
Then we film the whole thing. And then,
women love married man inviting me out to dinner. I don't know what it is.
Oh,
women,
apparently it's a Florida thing.
They want what they can't have. They want what they can't have. Just kidding. We're keeping it professional here.
Your wife can come too.
No, keep her at home. I keep her locked in the cave.
Excellent.
Teasing.
Golden cave.
The golden cave. She's got kids to take care of. She doesn't like to spend that much time with me already anyways. We've spent enough. Sophie, we got to run here. We are over our allotted time. Again, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. Viewers and
listeners, we appreciate your time for listening, tuning in, whether you're watching us, listening to us. We, of course, appreciate it all. We can't do it without wonderful guests like this. Sophie Bowman, thank you again for joining us.
Thank
Talk on to me video podcast show here at the Berman Law Group Studios in Boca Raton. We're out of here. Peace. Goodbye. What do you say in like Brits to say goodbye? Do you say goodbye? Like, what do they say?
Cheerio.
That's what I was looking for. Cheerio. Cheerio. Is that good?
That was
cheerio.
Incredible.
What? Cheerio. What? Bye-bye.